أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. We seek the protection of God from Shaitan, who has been expelled from God's kingdom of special mercy. The reason of his expulsion we need to be aware of, because those are the same characteristics whereby he will try to influence us. Number one is his arrogance. He knew what is right, yet he refused to accept. And number two is his defiance. He knew what was wrong, and yet he deliberately committed that evil act. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. We turn humbly towards God for help and for guidance for three reasons. Number one, we believe He is Allah, the absolute perfect being, the only source for all perfection. And therefore, any goodness or guidance we seek to achieve necessarily must originate from Him and flow down to us. And secondly, we turn to Him because we believe He is Rahman. His Rahmah is universal. It reaches out to each and everyone, brings it to existence, provides it with all that's necessary for its growth and development. And thirdly, we turn towards Him because we believe He is Rahim. His extra love is available, and His mercy is abundantly flowing towards those amongst us who believe in Him, and who accept His guidance, and who shape and model their lives according to His dictates. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. And we send our salutations and greetings on the Holy Prophet of Islam, whom we believe to be the most perfect human being, who managed to reach the highest pinnacle of perfection possible for any human being, for two reasons. Number one, his understanding of who God is, of what God's perfect attributes are, God's unending love, God's infinite knowledge, God's limitless power, mercy, generosity, magnanimity, and all the other perfect attributes, of how God has total control over every particle of the universe, and how out of His wisdom, He is directing the universe slowly and gradually towards its purpose of perfection. His understanding of this reality was the maximum possible for any human being. Secondly, this understanding translated into action in such a way that in all spheres of His life, be it in His personal thinking or feeling or action, be it in His public behavior, economic or social or political or family or any other sphere, the Holy Prophet was the most submissive to the will of God. And we send our salutations and greetings on His holy progeny, who were the next best in perfection after Him. And especially so on the third holy Imam, whose sacrifice and struggle we have congregated here to commemorate. A sacrifice which became a role model for all subsequent movements to fight against injustice when all other means of fighting have failed. And a role model for establishing justice up until that final movement for global justice and the domination of godly values. Respected scholars of Islam, elders, brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. We have been urged to congregate and to commemorate the tragedy of Karbala, to mourn and to lament and to weep. And in addition to that, in order to make this process more effective, we've also been taught that, for example, in the ziyarah, we should declare that I have understood your cause for which you made this uprising. And I wish I were there with you. Ya laytani kuntu ma'akum fa'afuza fawzan azima. One. Two. My support is ready. وَنُصْرَتِي مُعَدَّ لَكُمْ. You declared, هَلْ مِن نَاصِرٍ يَنصُرُنَا. I was not there physically. We're taught to recite this in the ziyarah. I was not there physically, but my heart is there with you. And my support, I declare it to be ready. And number three, not only is my support ready, not only is there my intense desire, oh, I wish I were there with you. Number three, if there ever there is any movement to fight against injustice, I wish to be a part of that. And that's why we greet each other in these days of mourning, especially in the pinnacle, the day of Ashura. جَعَلَنَا اللَّهُ وَإِيَّاكُمْ مِنَ الطَّالِبِينَ بِثَارِهِ مَعَ وَلِيِّهِ. May Allah accept us in that group of movement which will try to avenge the blood which was shed unjustly of Imam Hussein. And that final avenging will take place, of course, with the movement to establish global justice. And therefore, this process of mourning and weeping has got this very important dimension whereby we need to assess ourselves, where would we stand had we been there? Would we have been a party which would have supported those who came against Imam Hussein or no? And then we need to analyze, what is it that motivated those people to be so wicked, so evil, so merciless, as to stoop so low to commit those horrendous, heinous crimes? I gave an indication earlier on. I said that a community, a society, a group of people can deteriorate in their level of morality to a stage where they not only avoid enjoining good and forbidding evil, they begin to enjoin evil and to forbid goodness. No, they also begin to reach a stage where they no longer consider evil as evil, they consider evil as good. The same problems exist today. We're living in a world which is being dominated by a culture which unfortunately is trying to impress upon messages, upon us messages through the media, whereby gradually we come to believe that evil is not evil. No, evil is good. And therefore we need to be aware how to protect ourselves. We don't fall into the same trap that would have brought us to become members of the very same party that came and fought against Imam Hussein. There's no doubt about the effect of media. But many of us sometimes falsely believe that, no, I am a person who's critical in my viewing of the media. I'm not going to be affected. And two, I can judge what is right and wrong. And two, I'm not only critical, I'm conscientious. Not only do I know what is good and what is bad, I will not be influenced. But this is a false belief. Because the effect of the media on our attitudes, one, on our feelings, two, and on our behavior, three, has been studied now, and the evidence clearly points that the media does perform a powerful effect. Let me give you an example. In 1996, there was a movie entitled The Kiss. And in that, the two actors, players, they secretly, one scene is shown where they're kissing. The media critics wrote that this is outrageous to show this sort of public display of romantic behavior between two individuals. No, there were some other critics who said this sort of display calls for police action. Understandable. But let me just tell you, this 96 was not the 20th century. This 96 was the 19th century. The film, The Kiss, was of 1896. Fast forward, come one century forward, 1998. The world gets to know that in the White House, the president has been not very discreet in his sexual behavior. What has been the reaction? No public moral outrage. What happened? Evil is no longer considered as evil? No, evil is good. Question, how? Well, there are several factors, but one most important effect was definitely that of the media. And therefore we need to be careful. Let me just quote for you a few reports of studies done on the effect of the media. Regarding violence, for example, three effects. Number one, the media distorts our view of the world, one, as far as violence is concerned. And number two, not only does it distort, it desensitizes us to the seriousness of violence. And number three, not only does it distort and not only does it desensitize, it also directs our behavior towards violence. Let me explain. It distorts our perception. Simple study. Children of 7 to 11 years old, a national survey was conducted in the United States, and they were asked, those who were watching, let's say, 4 hours of the media per day versus those who were watching 2 hours or less than that per day, they were asked about their view and their feelings. And the observation showed that these children were more likely, those who watched more of the media, were more likely to say that, yes, there is someone bad out there who will try to enter my house. No, even if they went outside the house, yes, there are more people bad out there who will hurt me. Attitudes change, feelings also change. So one is a distortion of the perception. The studies are multiple. I'm just quoting an example. It desensitizes us. Observe this study, which was done by Mullins and Linz on the desensitization and the resensitization to violence against women. In the University of Wisconsin, United States, a group of men were shown a film which showed violence towards women. Every second day, films were shown for a period of 1 week. The first film was shown and their reaction was measured. Second film. By the time they were shown the third film, three effects were already seen. Number one, that arousal, that shock that was felt the first time, the third time it was down. Arousal and shock to violence goes down with repeated exposure. Two, not only was the arousal and shock down, the second effect that they noted in the study was the attitude towards the violence which these men were seen to be committing towards the women in the film, the attitude became a little more indifferent too. Three, not only was the arousal down, not only was the attitude changing towards indifference, three, feeling. There was lack of sympathy. Because now when they were shown a documentary of women who are being subjected to physical abuse in their homes, and then the feelings of these viewers were checked, their degree of sympathy for the victims was low. Oh, I am a critical viewer. Oh, I am a conscientious viewer. Really so. Look at the arousal level going down. Look at the attitudes changing. Look at the feelings of sympathy for the victims of violence changing. This is violence. Worse than that is for sexuality. Studies, multiple. I'll just quote a few examples. The media portrays sexual behavior very openly. One, it distorts the reality of actual sexual incidents in relationships outside. One. Two, it decreases my degree of attraction for my own partner. Three, it influences my view at a woman in such a way that increasingly I look at her as a sexual object. Four, it desensitizes me to the seriousness of sexual crimes. Five, definitely it leads me to the behavior. Look at the studies and how they show this. Number one, the fact that it distorts the reality. 9 out of 10 American families, when interviewed, they report faithfulness and fidelity in the marriage. Yet when you look at the media, the way they project reality is, out of 24 couples shown in romantic relationships, 24 of them are of unmarried couples. One is between married couples. 9 out of 10 in the real world are faithful. The majority shown in the media are the opposite. It distorts our vision of the world, one. Two, not only does it distort, it decreases the attraction for my own legal partner. A study was conducted by Douglas Kenrick and Sarah Gutierrez on the effect of erotica on the judgment and the perception towards your own mates or partners in the Montana State University. So the experimenter comes to the university and he meets some men. Excuse me, I got a friend coming here next week. I'm looking for a date. I've got a few photographs here. Who would you suggest is a good date for my friend? Two groups were asked. Those who were exposed to a film which was showing three attractive actresses, compared to a group of men who were not shown that film. Would you be surprised? The average looking woman in the photograph was no longer attractive anymore. Oh, I'm critical in my view. Oh, I'm conscientious. Studies don't prove that. Not only does it distort, not only does it decrease my attraction for my own legal partner, it makes me look at other women from a sexual perspective. Look at this study by Douglas Mackenzie Moore and Mark Zanna. University of Waterloo, two groups, a student was shown a film showing sexual behavior, and another group of students was shown a film about a political debate. One. Stage two of the experiment, a female interviewer now comes and talks to both groups. Part three of this experiment. Now, the two groups are asked, the one who watched the political debate and the one who watched the films of the sexual content. Excuse me, what is your view and your recollection about that woman who came before to interview you? Would you be surprised? More than 3/4 of those who had watched the film with the sexual content described that female interviewer in physical terms. It influences the way I look at a woman now. Number four, worst of all, not only does it decrease the attraction of my own spouse, not only it makes another woman more attractive, it desensitizes me to the sexual crime. Observe. Dolph Zillman and Jennings Bryant conducted this study. 6 films were shown per week, again with some sexual content. After that, this group of men were given a newspaper report. A hitchhiker was subjected to rape. The driver was caught and he's in court right now. A sentence has to be passed. If you were part of the jury, what would your sentence be? Would you be surprised that those who were exposed to that sexual film, they gave half the sentence compared to those who didn't watch the film? No, half the sentence, rape, what's the big deal? Those who were exposed to these films, not only did they not consider this as a serious sexual crime, rape, number two, not only did they say it's no big deal, number three, extramarital affairs, what is the matter? What's the problem? It's not serious anymore. Oh, you think I'm talking about the 80s and the 90s? Come to 2003. Baghdad, Abu Ghraib prison, sexual abuse, the sanctity and the dignity of victims violated. You know the defense we get from some people in the media in America? Big deal. What's wrong with that? Excuse me. تَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا Surah Nur. وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ You consider it as insignificant, but in God's eyes, this is very serious. You're not only not enjoining what is good, you're not only enjoining what is evil, you now consider what is evil as good. I'm sorry, but the reports we got out from the victims of the sexual abuse in the Abu Ghraib scandal was that what the Holy Lady Maryam said, Ya laytani kunt mittu qabla hadha wa kuntu nasyan mansiya. The acuteness of the embarrassment of the violation of the sanctity and the dignity of the human being was so serious that they said, Oh, I wish I was dead. Oh, I wish the roof of the prison had fallen. Oh, I wish I had not walked out of the prison. That's how serious it is. But we're living in a society where the seriousness of crimes is going down. Oh, it's not going to affect my behavior. I'm still critical in my view and I'm conscientious. Really. Studies have shown that in the United States, if you look at the rate of rape, 50 states, those states where the number of the sale of sexually explicit magazine is the highest, the reported cases of the rape are the highest, which is Alaska. Those states where the number of sales of the sexually explicit magazine is the second highest, the number of cases of reported rape second highest, Nevada, and on and on. Hawaii, between 1960 and 1970, a study was conducted to see the effect of pornography on rape. Between 60 and 74, the number of cases of rape shot up 9 times. Oh, they said, let's ban these magazines. The number of cases of rape went down. And for some reason, they again lifted the ban. The number of cases of rape went up. You're doubting the effect of media on the attitude, one, on the feelings, two, on the behavior, three. We've got living examples. There is no doubt about them. Question. Where do I stand? To what degree am I being influenced? Am I under the false impression that I will not be affected? Do I think that, Ya laytani kuntu ma'akum afuza fawzan azima, that I would have been there, that I would have been bold enough to declare what Qasim bin Hassan declares? Qasim, when he went out to the battlefield, the different battle cries are attributed to him. But one is interesting. Inni ana al-Qasim min nasli Aliyyin. If you want to know who I am Qasim, from the progeny of Ali. وَنَحْنُ وَبَيْتِ اللَّهِ أَوْلَى بِالنَّبِي And if you want to know our identity, we are the closest in obedience to the Prophet. I swear by God. مِنْ شِمْرَ ذِي الْجَوْشَنِي وَابْنِ الدَّعِي In contrast, we have Shimr and we have this son, this illegitimate son, referring to Ibn Ziyad, whose father is not known. Ibn Marjana, the son of that woman, who was the father. Sexual crimes. These were the leaders on the other side. Where would we have been? In the Quran, we warned again and again, Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا Surah Baqarah chapter 2, ayah number 209. أُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً In all aspects of your life, O believers, enter into a state of submission and obedience to the will of God. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ Beware of the small steps of Shaitan as he calls you away from God. One viewing today, a second viewing tomorrow, a third viewing again day after of the media. Oh, it's not affecting me. Who says, if you're telling us that there is an effect between the media and the behavior, just like there's an effect, a connection between smoking and lung cancer. Well, we tell you many smokers don't develop lung cancer. Well, the answer to that is most of those who die, most of the smokers who die from lung cancer. Oh, I watch the media and it doesn't affect me. It doesn't make me commit a sexual crime or a violent crime. Well, most of those who do commit the sexual crime or the violent crime have reported a previous exposure, continuous, repetitive extra dose of the media. The effect is undeniable. How do I stop myself? How do I protect myself? Look at what the ayah says. Beware of following the shaitan. لا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان. Why? إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ. Let's understand that anything I listen to, anything I watch, anything that I get impressed by, what is the source? Who is giving me what message? Is it from the shaitan or is it from the Rahman? One. Two. In Surah Nur, chapter 24, ayah 21. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان. Don't follow the steps. He comes step by step. Step by step he leads you away. الشيطان. ومن يتبع خطوات الشيطان فإنه يأمر بالفحشاء والمنكر. Initially shaitan will attract. Then when you listen to him, he will instruct. He will ask you to obey. When what is he going to instruct you about? Fahsha, the sexual crimes. Munkar, the evil deeds. Once he attracts and you fall into the trap, then you are a slave. He instructs and you obey. And then there is a command for destruct. You're gone. وَمَنْ يَتَّبِعْ خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَإِنَّهُ يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ مَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَبَدًا. Had it not been for the grace and the mercy of God, none of you would ever have been able to protect himself and purify himself. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يُزَكِّي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. But God is the one who wills whom to purify. Question, can we bring ourselves away from shaitan? One, can we bring ourselves to obey the right model, which Qasim bin Hassan was proud to say, that we are more attached to the Prophet. Hazrat Ibrahim was taken as a model by the Jews and the Christians. مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ يَهُودِيًّا وَلَا نَصْرَانِيًّا. Quran says, إِنَّ أَوْلَى النَّاسِ بِإِبْرَاهِيمُ لَلَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ. The closest to Ibrahim is not the Christian or the Jew. It's not even the Muslim. It's he who follows the path of Ibrahim. Who did Qasim choose to follow? Have I identified the shaitan? One. Do I know his behavior and effect on me? Two. Have I decided who is my right role model? Three. Have I made the determination to follow him? Four. إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. The Prophet says, follow me. يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah will love you. If you make the decision to follow the right role model. Once you've made the decision, because God loves you now, therefore there's more mercy. Once there's more mercy coming to you, you have more strength to follow. You do that one act of goodness once, you feel confidence. I've won over shaitan. Yes. You get more strength to do it a second time, and a third time, and a fourth time. And that's how the bond of wilaya is built up gradually. Up until a stage where it reaches gradually that point where it becomes a pinnacle. Come back to Qasim. Qasim, one of the battle cries that has been attributed to him in Karbala, Ya nafsi la tajza'i fa kullun fani. Oh my nafs, don't grieve and don't feel sorrow and don't feel pain. Or you being attacked and there was no armor to protect you. Take in the sword and take in the arrows. But don't feel pain. Pain is temporary. Ya nafsi, la tajza'i fa kullun fani. Al yawma talqayna dhura al jinani. today you shall be able to reach the pinnacle of perfection in paradise. When I make my decision to avoid the shaitan, one, and the mercy of God flows to me, two, and I've got the right role model, three, and I begin to make the determination to follow it, four, come what may, the afflictions, gradually I begin to realize that the pain here is temporary, the pleasure there is permanent. The pain here is superficial, the pleasure there is profound. The pain here is limited, the pleasure there is unlimited. And I will never therefore ever bow down and subjugate myself to Shimr ibn Zil-Jawshan, or be it the illegitimate son, Ibn Ziyad. As-salamu alayk, ya Aba Abdullah. وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك وأناخت برحلك عليكم منا جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقينا وبقي الليل والنهار. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.